want to greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. And somebody already made reference to a beautiful rainy morning. You know, if it's in the early spring or in late fall, you think that's not so pretty. But in July, it is really a beautiful rainy morning. And so it's good to be here. It's good in sunshine, too. Appreciated the thoughts that were shared, and was encouraged by comments that Brother Murray shared in Tell What the Lord Has Done for You. It goes well with what I'd like to look at this morning. If you will, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, and there's three incidents here right together that I'd like to focus on a little bit this morning. Luke chapter 8, and I'd like to start reading with verse 26. One title we could give this message is Hogs, Throngs, and 12 Years. Verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, and he went forth to land, and there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him when he was and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and they were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went back up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass, when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. I'd like to just pause there for a moment. Think about the other things that Jesus had done in this, just preceding this. This chapter begins with the parable of the sower. It actually begins with naming some of the women that were there with Jesus and ministering unto him. But he also gives the parable of the sower. Talks about the different seed that was sown, how some brought forth, where some landed, and the fruitfulness of each. And he makes a point that we're familiar with, that the seed that was on good ground brought forth good fruit. Some that was in the thorns was choked, and some that was on the rock were, some that was on the wayside was taken away immediately. And some sprang, some grew for a little while, some that was on the rock. So, you know, I'm sure that as we look at this, we would want to gauge ourselves that we are those that are the good ground. That's what we want to be. Then it goes on, and Jesus, this is a very eventful time of Jesus' life. He went and he was crossed into the sea and was caught in a storm, and he stilled the storm with the words of his mouth. And the disciples that were with him said, "What manner of man is this?" Now they're with Jesus, and they meet him with this man that lives in tombs and comes out raging and naked and fearsome. One of the Gospels says that no man would dare pass that place because of the fierceness of this man or men. And here Jesus comes, and he speaks the word, and the devils are cast out. And a conversation with them, very interestingly, this man was healed. And then it goes on to say, the next part of the chapter, verse 41, it says, "And behold, there came a man, Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace.' While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master.' But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, 'Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole.' And when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And they all wept and bewailed her. And he said, 'Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called unto them, saying, 'Maid, arise.' And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done." In this three accounts, we've read of hogs, throngs, and 12 years in two different cases. I wonder if there's any 12-year-old girls here this morning. Okay, we've got several 12-year-old girls. Now, I know you parents know how old your daughters are, but if you had this only one, you would know also the intensity that Jairus felt when he went to seek Jesus for the healing of his daughter. You know, in the account of the devil-possessed man, Jesus was in this man's territory, and Jesus went to the man. The next case we have, Jairus is seeking out Jesus because he knows that Jesus can heal his daughter who lay a-dying. And very interestingly, while Jesus is going that way, there's another case right there, just piled right in on top. And this also was involving a woman that had been sick for 12 years, the same age as the daughter. Isn't that interesting? You know, for a 12-year-old, 1 year is a long time. For a 40-year-old, 12 years is not really that long, 12 whole years. And yet, if you've been sick, if you're 24 years old and have been sick since you're 12, that's quite a long time too. But anyhow, these two cases came together right here in Jesus. And while this whole multitude is walking, probably slowly making its way to the to Jairus' house. This woman is struggling to reach Jesus. And many word pictures have been made of the effort that she put forth. And more than likely, she was on the ground. More than likely, she was going through the legs of the people where she could touch and reach. It says she touched the hem of his garment. And she immediately was healed. She could feel that right now. She knew what she was. She knew that she was healed. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" Isn't that interesting? That he says, and Peter brought that to his attention. Look, you got people all around you banging into you and touching you, and probably much more than just touching. But Jesus said, He would not be quieted, and this woman felt the pressure. She felt first an instant healing, and then she felt exposed. And because of her sickness, there would have been a great deal of uncleanness and shame associated with that, even though it wasn't her own fault. But she was exposed, and being a modest person was very difficult for her to come forward, and yet she did. She came with fear and trembling, and she told all how that she was healed. The thing I would like to focus on this morning is in each of these different cases, Jesus asked something that was very different from what they would have liked to do or what we would consider normal. We've coined a phrase in the last number of years called comfort zone, and we all know what that means. But Jesus called each one of these people out of their comfort zone into something that was very different. The man that was healed of the demons, he wanted to go with Jesus. Isn't that just the most natural thing to do? To be with the one that healed him? Instead, Jesus said, "Go home and tell your friends what God has done for you." And it says he did. Well, yeah, he did. But think of the difficulties that man faced. Responsible, not really. But anyhow, he would have taken the blame for this herd of pigs running down the hill into the sea and drowning. He was the one that would have been looked at as the cause of that. And then the keeper, the ones that took care of him, went and told all these things ahead of him. They went and told all these things in the city and in the country, it says. And so the difficult thing was that this man now is supposed to go and tell his friends. And who in a case like that would have friends? You know, think about it. But Jesus said, "Go and tell your friends how great things God has done for you." The most natural thing in the world would have been for him to just go with Jesus and follow him and be with him, this great deliverer, and that would have been the thing. Jesus said, "No, go home to your friends and tell how great things God has done for you and has delivered you." For the woman that was healed, that had been sick for 12 years, the most natural thing for her would have been just enjoy the anonymity of that healing and just be quiet and just enjoy the pleasure of good health. And Jesus said, "No, you tell how great things God has done for you." And he didn't say that, but that's what happened. She came, it says, with fear and trembling. And she fell down at before him and declared before all the people what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And Jesus said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Jesus was the healer in her case in a very definite way. She extended herself, came to Christ, and found healing. And then in the third case, we have the daughter being healed. And Jesus is there with the intent of filling that need as well. And while he reached the house, he says that they were mourning because she was gone, she was dead. And he said, don't, because she's only sleeping. And, it always amazed me ever since I was a small boy and heard this story, how that people could turn from mourning to laughing, laughing to scorn so quickly. You know, if somebody is sad, you don't laugh at a joke. You don't scorn somebody if you're really grieving. So maybe they weren't really grieving, I don't know. But anyhow, it says they laughed him to scorn. But Jesus, we know the story there, how that Jesus came in and he told her, "Maid, arise." And she rose. And now he tells her parents. Her parents were astonished, as I'm sure they would have been. He charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Why did Jesus say, tell no man? Here in the other cases, he told them to go and tell. Go and tell. It seems like in each of these three cases, Jesus is saying, don't do what the normal thing is to do, what the most natural thing is, but do as I tell you. We have no reason to believe that they didn't honor that, although that one must be one of the most difficult things to do, to not tell how your 12-year-old daughter was raised to life after she was gone. Had to be difficult, and yet that's what he asked. So, we see four things that Jairus did when he came to Jesus. He came to the right source. He humbled himself. He again came down and he fell at his feet and to ask to make his plea. He made his plea for Christ, to Christ, in a very definite way. And he had his faith that Jesus could do what he asked him to do. I know that many of us today, we are all sick in one way or another, and we come to Christ, but we have to come with the same attitude that Jairus did, with the knowledge and the faith that what Jesus is able to fill our need and to make things, to heal where we need healing. Jesus may ask us to come out of our comfort zone and do things that are not normal for us, but in this case, we see three cases here that Jesus did that. But he also gives us power to do. In the case of the man that was healed from the demons, we see that the demons feared Jesus. They recognized Jesus as being the Son of God. And they asked him not to commanded to go into the deep. I think the deep was referring to what Revelation calls the bottomless pit that was reserved for the devil and his angels. But they asked not to go there. And it's interestingly enough that Jesus allowed them their request. But then we see the men coming that saw this man clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Isn't that interesting? That when men saw something that was normal, they were afraid. They saw Jesus, they saw this man normal, clothed, sound mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and that brought fear to them. So today, Jesus is still able to meet our needs. And I believe that that he's just as powerful as he was then and is able to do that. However, we must meet those. We conditions are still the same as we ask him in humility and obedience. How do we bring men to Christ today? You know, I was blessed here recently when somebody else read this account in John 14 about the woman at the well, Jesus meeting this Samaritan woman. And I always like that picture of Jesus telling her, whosoever shall drinketh of the water that I shall give him. She said, give me this water that I don't come here to draw anymore, and that I don't thirst or come here to draw, is what she said. But Jesus was talking about a living water, something that was a little different than what she had in mind. And he said this, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up to everlasting life. And that is a beautiful statement of promise that Jesus makes. The water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Water does a lot of good things. It brings life. It's very interesting to me that water is so much a part of life. If we take the remotest part of our planet, the coldest part, and say the North Pole or the South Pole, there's lots of water there, and there's ice and cold, and you know you melt the ice and you have water. Well, water is a sign of life. The people that are studying space and so on, they say they get all excited when they see a little trace that there may have been water on Mars, and they say that's possible to support life there. When there's a small trace of water, when there's a possibility of water being on Mars, there's a possibility of life. Well, we see life, it's pretty forbidding on the North Pole and the South Pole. If you read about the explorers that made it to each point, they went through terrible hardship and terrible trouble to try to even make a voyage down there and back again. And many of them didn't make it. It's really hard to say that just water supports life, and yet it's so much a part of our life that it is. It's true. Water does support life. And so Jesus is speaking of water, the water that is in him, the water that he gives. In John 7, verse 37, it says, in that last great day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus is very clear in saying that he that believes on me is going to be a blessing to those around him. He's going to be a source of life, of life-giving water for those that are around. When Christ is in our life, the fruit of the Spirit is the blessing that flows from us to bless others and brings them into the presence of God. So if we want to know how to bring people to God, it's simply this, is having Christ's life in us. And that blessing that flows from us to bless others brings them into the presence of God. If we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we see a number of different items listed. There is love, joy, peace. And those three are ones that dwell primarily within, that guide our life. Then there's long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Those are also within, but they're how we relate to other people. And then there's temperance and faith. And those are virtues that keep everything in perspective. Love is the first one that's mentioned. That permeates everything in our life. And faith is the last one that's mentioned. And that is the guide that guides us into all things. I believe that the lessons we can learn from these accounts is that Jesus has the power to overcome the enemy, the devil, and is well able to continue his defeat. I believe that we can experience that blessing when we believe that Jesus is able to heal, and we all need healing of one sort or another. The very interesting thing that Jesus tells us in the closing part of this chapter is that when this girl, this 12-year-old, was raised to life, he said, "Give her meat. Give her meat." He already had given her life. Is it important that she gets food to eat? You know, that's what Jesus was saying. He's also the ruler of nature. And he's also the ruler of natural laws. And the natural laws, he does not supersede in every case the natural laws. We must give her meat to eat. And so that's doing what we know is necessary and right. There are some rules that most survivors pay attention to, and that's there's some things in common that people that survive crisis go through. One thing is doing the next right thing. Doing the next right thing. It works in a natural disaster and crisis. It also works in spiritual crisis. Doing the next right thing. The next thing is to work with what you have. Use the resources at hand. Work with what you have. And then finally, a Christian can look to God for additional help and guidance. But those things are things that are important in life to get us through in these difficult times. In each of these cases, Jesus asked the opposite of what was natural for them to do, natural or comfortable. But in each of these, he was glorified in a very definite way. In each of these, there was nothing left for man to do. In the demon-possessed man, he was unable to help himself until Jesus came to him. In the case of Jairus, his daughter, he went for help, and there was nothing else he could do. His daughter was dead. Jesus was the only one that could help. In the case of the woman that was sick, she had been to doctors, and one of the other Gospels says she had spent all her living. There was nothing else she could do. She had done everything she could. There was nothing else to do except go to Jesus and with the faith that he would heal. And she was healed. If we find ourselves in a place that there's nothing else we can do, I think this call is still for us today. Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above that we ask or think. I think it's our own limitations many times that limits the work in our life. Jesus is able. I know, many times when we, as a minister, we ask the Lord to guide us in a message, and many times a need is revealed, and I'll just speak for myself, and I won't say we, I'll say I. A need is revealed in my own life, and the Lord speaks in that way, shows me a need, and this is this is one thing that I can speak for myself, is that the Lord needs to work in His way, and many times the blessing comes when you're out of your comfort zone and do what is the right thing. And so, you know, I think we should learn and learn, continue to learn to expend ourselves, go beyond what we think is just comfortable, but seek the Lord with all our heart. We're starting a new chapter in Philippians in memory work. Memory work is an exercise of the mind, but it can be a spiritual blessing as well. Recently, I know of a 10-year-old that was challenged by one of his school teachers to they learned one book and one chapter in Philippians, and this certain 10-year-old was challenged to learn the entire book. She thought he could do it, and he did, and he in a very short time, and he wanted us to grill him on chapter and verse. What is 1:11? What is 2:18? What is so and so? And he would quote all of those. Now, many of us know a portion of it, but it's hard to learn chapter and verse. But he applied himself and learned it. And it was a blessing to me to know that, because sometimes even learning a memory verse is out of our comfort zone. It's something that's important to do. It's something that we can be a blessing to others, and it's a blessing to us. I often have to think of that in many ways. Dad was one that really memorized a lot. I don't think he didn't enjoy reading all that much, and so when he heard something and memorized it, he remembered it. And the last day of his life, he woke up and quoted Psalms 103 before he got out of bed, and then he quoted it again in German. And so that's a good memory I have of his last day here. Mom told us that. So that is something that's a good way to apply. Get out of your, really work at it, and it can be a blessing to those around us. Most of us enjoy hearing of where you are, where we are spiritually, and when testimony time is given. Tell what the Lord has done for you. If that's out of your comfort zone, this could be the Lord speaking to you and say, hey, this is what you need to do. If it's easy for you, I just don't want to diminish that either. But if it's difficult, the blessing sometimes is when we're out of what's comfortable. In each of these cases, Jesus called them out of what was comfortable into something entirely different. Let's learn the lessons that He has for us here. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.